This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today I want to hold forth on something which is in the news very timely. It's what I term the plot against keto, or alternatively, the plot against low-carb diets. You know, I'm not very given to conspiracy theories, but over the past couple of weeks, there's been a confluence of anti-low-carb, anti-keto stories that has me wondering, is there really a campaign to discredit the keto diet? Now, what first brought this to mind was the recent keto crotch campaign. And initially, I was just going to pass up on this really ludicrous story. I wasn't going to give it any credence, which asserts that low-carb dieters or keto dieters acquire odoriferous nether parts. And to give you an idea, I'm going to share some of the headlines with you. Keto crotch, the unfortunate new side effect of the low-carb diet. That's from the New York Post. Bro Bible, I've never heard of that particular website, published this headline. One stinky side effect of the keto diet is funky keto crotch, and carbs never sounded and smelled so delicious. This one from Country 104 Radio, Keto Crotch, What the Keto Diet Can Do to Women's Vaginal Health. First for Women writes, keto could lead to funky smells down there. And the UK Sun writes, women complain about keto crotch after switching to weight loss low-carb diet, like Gwyneth Paltrow and Kim Kardashian. You see there's some extra frisson to that headline because they managed to include the names of a couple of popular celebrities who apparently are diluted. And you can imagine, you know, you can almost smell the odor, you know, as, you know, and I think journalists delight in shocking their audiences. Well, I didn't want to go down that pathway. I thought that maybe one option is to have a premium version, an X-rated version of Intelligent Medicine that you'd have to pay $19.95 for that offers you premium X-rated content. But there's more to this than just, you know, this alliterative term keto crotch, which really has to do with a concerted smear by parties unknown, and I'm going to get into some theorizing about that in just a few moments. But just to situate the conversation, recently I read a book by Cheryl Atkinson, and Cheryl is a renegade reporter from CBS. She got fired there because she was making too many waves, and now she's an independent reporter. But she's written several books that sort of blow the whistle on the intrigue and on the infighting and, frankly, manipulation of the news on the political front. And here's a quote from her book, Smear. She writes, now the news story reporter and outlet are hit with highly organized offensive smears. Strategic communications firms spring to action. False information, rumors, and innuendo are circulated against the reporters on blogs and social media. Negative press releases are dispatched to long email lists of reporters and pundits. Pretty soon, these AstroTurf efforts drown out the real story and overtake the news narrative. Politico, InfoWars, The Huffington Post, Breitbart, Salon, Vox, The Right Scoop, Mother Jones, Rolling Stone, Wired, Daily Kos, The Washington Post, The New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, The Hill, BuzzFeed, and Mediate are some of the media entities known to peddle clickable concoctions of legitimate news and sometimes good journalism alongside partisan opinions, vicious agendas, misinformation, mischaracterizations, and smears against other journalists. It blurs together until there's virtually no meaningful distinction between credible reporting and propaganda. Well, here, the target of the smear is the keto diet and the low-carb diet. The low-carb diet and keto diet, of course, are gaining a great deal of traction because of the many benefits that are associated with these types of diets. I mean, it all started with Atkins, of course, and Atkins had his own predecessors. But the idea that a low-carb diet could help to curb type 2 diabetes and was the most effective way to lose weight and had many additional benefits, including on digestive health, cancer prevention. Now we have stories that suggest that it's sugar and carbohydrates that are driving our epidemic of cancer. There's a big campaign against soda. And oh, by the way, if you think diet soda is any better, there's problems there for the beverage industry. So the notion of a low-fat, high-carb diet is really being assailed these days. There are studies that also show that you can get a benefit from keto diets for such conditions as Parkinson's disease, for the low, very ultra low carb diets for cancer, to starve the cancer of the nutritional sustenance that it derives from sugar, for Alzheimer's disease, and many other problems. So, that's the buzz. That's the trend these days. With this keto crotch campaign, many of the stories are adorned with these whimsical photos of women holding a fish over their privates. That's pretty subtle. Or holding their noses, you know. And, man, you know, these are stories that really can go viral because they're very clickable. This is an opportunity to go a little X-rated in publications where usually you can't go that way. And that's a real attention grabber. Is there an element of body shaming associated with this? Yeah, I would say so. In the context of, we recently had International Women's Day. Isn't this a little reminiscent of some of the long discredited vaginal odor awareness campaigns that propelled the success of products like Masingil and Vagisil that were designed to make you kind of antiseptic down there that really ultimately messed up your vaginal microbiome? And caused worse problems. But the whole idea was to make women think that their nether parts should be pristine. And so it's kind of, the whole campaign is kind of regressive. You know, it's like making you self-conscious about your body. I thought that that was very un-PC in 2019. But, so I thought, okay, this is bad journalism, that they adopt this story in such a very uncritical way and propagate this story across the media. But I was naive because I thought that this story, you know, just gained traction on its own. In other words, it was, quote, organic. In other words, a story that appears and then a lot of people pick up on it. But this is actually has all the hallmarks of a campaign. There really is something fishy, sorry about the pun, about the media embrace of this storyline. And I credit the investigation to a guy who I didn't previously know on Twitter. I've come to know him quite closely by following his tweets. He tweets under the name of @JohnZahorek. He is a self-described N-of-1 nutrition explorer. And I think this guy has really nailed it because he noticed that there was a very interesting pattern in the viral dissemination of this keto crotch story that, by the way, is totally unsubstantiated. We're going to get into that. And he sees the unmistakable fingerprints of a concerted campaign, probably launched by a big PR firm like Edelman. Because within 8 days of the first release of this story, all of a sudden, you know, it's like as if sprouting up by magic, scores of media outlets, and many of them aimed at health-conscious female audiences. Okay, and that's important because isn't it that precisely the audience that embraces diets and they're really trendsetters when it comes to diets? As I'd say, you know, 4 out of 5 dieters and consumers of diet products and healthy foods, quote healthy foods, and people who go to Weight Watchers and places like that, they're women. So all of these outlets were, you know, the tabloids and also some, you know, places like, you never really hear too much about Bro Bible. There's a lot of websites like that. They proliferate. And they're barely sort of cranking along. But they're all trying to attract clicks. And they're all trying to monetize. And all of them also seem to be places where writers, and not necessarily high-level journalists, but writers for hire, tend to peddle their stories. And all these media outlets jumped on the bandwagon. And the suggestion is that we've got a campaign that utilizes what are called influencers and also potentially paid placement. And this is not too far. This is not an act of imagination. Many of these sites amplify their market value via clicks. You can keep track of that, how many clicks, how many responses you have to the stuff, to your headlines. And they appeal to advertisers on that basis, and they monetize that way. And of course, there's nothing like digital catnip like Keto Crotch, right? That'll get your attentions and attract a lot of eyeballs. So there is no real smoking gun here or definitive proof of collusion, but it's entirely conceivable that some health writers who are a little mercenary, and by the way, health writers are not the best remunerated people on the planet, so maybe they're looking for a little bit of a meal ticket, maybe they were paid to disseminate the story. I mean, after all, people are paid to be influencers. And it's a good gig if you can get it. I mean, you just do a video or you do a podcast or you do a story on one of these websites. And, you know, depending on how many people follow you and look at you, you get paid. I'm not, you know, full disclosure, I'm not an influencer in that sense. But there are actually agencies where, you know, like talent agencies, where influencers sign up to be influencers. And they do outlandish things to attract attention, like yell, Keto Crotch! See, I mean, the more outlandish you are these days, the more you attract attention, because there's just a lot of voices out there. And he or she who shouts the loudest and most profane will sometimes get attention. I mean, you see that in every realm. You see that in, you know, in the media. You see that in politics. That's the way it goes in 2019. So, the question arises, and I love this Latin aphorism, I use it frequently, qui bono, which means literally who benefits. Another way of saying it is follow the money trail. Why undertake a PR campaign designed to impugn the low-carb or keto diet? Well, as I said, women constitute a large tranche of the diet market. And keto and low-carb diets have been really trashing the profits of places like Weight Watchers and also, you know, think of all the places that rely on selling starch and bread. I mean, Barilla Pasta, for example, is a big entity. They own a lot of businesses related to this. Also, the beverage manufacturers. Well, it so happens that Weight Watchers, Barilla Pasta, and Coca-Cola are clients of a big advertising agency called Edelman. Edelman PR is one of the top 5 public relations agencies in the world. And, you know, if you think it's just like, okay, commercials, we're way beyond you know, those 60-second spots on TV in terms of getting the word out to people. Now we have social media, and social media doesn't have, I mean, I guess they do have sponsored spots, but there's a whole lot of ways to subtly influence opinion, political opinion, as well as public perception of diets via sort of insidious propaganda. I'm going to just read to you now from an article on the Edelman Digital website. This is the platform for Edelman PR. It's an article entitled "The Value of Top-Tier Digital Influencers" by Sybil Grebe, who is U.S. Head of Influencer in Edelman. In other words, there's a whole department called Influencer, and she is the U.S. Head of Influencer. But there's probably a worldwide, you know, international influencer. But you know, this is just a U.S. campaign. So what she says here is influencers allow brands to cut through the noise of online advertising and incorporate their key messages directly into the content people are seeking out. Edelman's 2018 Trust Barometer showed the most trusted sources of information to be, quote, experts and peers, or a person like myself. Digital influencers are often seen both as an expert in their vertical as well as a relatable individual and are viewed as more trustworthy than the brands themselves, thus cultivating a deeper relationship with consumers. The value of top-tier influencers. Top-tier influencers are often the best way to integrate a brand's key messaging directly into the content target audiences are consuming. So what they're looking for is a multi-platform distribution to a large, targeted, engaged community. And clearly they are experts in orchestrating these kinds of campaigns, and they value this strategy. So Zahorik, back to Zahorik, that's John Zahorik on Twitter. He's put together a very, very convincing series of tweets about the potential link that a big PR firm like Edelman has in rolling out this ingenious campaign on behalf of its clients. And somewhere there's got to be a room full of young, savvy PR flacks who are high-fiving each other for this explosively viral rollout. They just really accomplished a coup and beautifully alliterative. Keto crotch. Who thought that up? You know, some 20-something genius who's probably getting a salary bonus this month. All right, so fact check. Have there been studies of the effect of the keto diet on vaginal odor? And the answer is no. So this is an unscientific, uncorroborated allegation. But let's actually, you know, consider it. A bunch of gynecologists have been interviewed for this story because, you know, the story was rolled out and clearly they looked for expert opinion from gynecologists. And many gynecologists said that they said, no, they've never seen this, that this is not, you know, based on, they can't really say that a woman can reduce her vaginal odor by going on a vegan or a high fiber diet or cutting out meat. This is, and it's not even, there's no even a scientific basis for believing this, because, you know, what is it about food that changes the vaginal odor? Well, it could be via some effects on the microbiome. You know, you are what you eat. And nitrogenous wastes or some sort of sebaceous secretion from the vaginal sebaceous glands may alter the microbiome down there. But there's no study that actually speaks to that. But there is evidence that this may be under hormonal influence, which is demonstrated by the fact that women's odor varies according to the time of the month, but it actually may act as a pheromone or a chemical attractant, you know, signaling peak fertility. So there is something to the fact that odor may have a role. What causes odor in many cases is bacterial infections, which can be fed by, I would say, too much sugar, too much junk. That could be a factor. In changing odor. Certainly the use of antibiotics, frequent use of antibiotics can kill off the beneficial bacteria, cause bad bacteria to grow. Not enough fermentable substrate for lactobacillus. Lactobacillus is a beneficial bacteria that lives down there and may keep other bacteria in check. Notwithstanding that, I did come across an odd 2006 paper out of Czechoslovakia, which was entitled "The Effect of Meat Consumption on Body Odor Attractiveness." But this study has to do with the smell of men's armpits and its relationship to diet. And it's a very interesting study. They got a bunch of men to either eat a vegetarian diet or a diet high in meat. And they did each for 14 days. And then they gave them cotton pads to put under their arms, and they wore them for 24 hours. And then they collected the cotton pads, and they put them in a freezer. And then they defrosted them so that women assessors, a panel of female smell testers, could rate the odor of these cotton pads that had been saturated with male sweat, either from the vegan phase of the diet or from the meat phase of the diet. And they rated them on several criteria, pleasantness, intensity, attractiveness, and masculinity. And you can imagine what that experiment was like. These were probably young graduate students in Czechoslovakia. And I hope they got paid well for the task. But the results were inconclusive. They did not reach statistical significance. So in other words, there wasn't a big difference. But as sometimes reported, they said there was a bit of a trend towards the non-meat eaters having slightly pleasanter, less intense, and more attractive odor than the meat eaters. So that's about as far as it goes in terms of science. I mean, hey, I'm calling it as it is. But whether this is consequential for keto crotch is unclear because, hello, the study was done on the armpits of men. So, you know, clearly there's not a lot to this false story, except as a very, very, I think, an effective smear, because, yeah, it really kind of implants itself in the consciousness or subconsciousness of women who might be tempted to explore low-carb or keto diets. It kind of gets you where you live. This is obviously an important lifestyle factor, and somehow they managed to poison the well for these types of diets. So yeah, clearly a concerted media campaign. But wait, folks, that's not all. The plot against keto continues, and we'll share more with you in part two. There's lots more to this than just the keto crotch story. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.